Dog, what's the deal with this man Zion? Freaky Zeke, no dip set. This man really out here. Like, chicks is popping up left and right. You know, I get it. He young. But I think that maybe it's a problem with New Orleans, bro. They don't have no OGs, dog.
Nah, he young, he got money. You know, the younger generation, man, when they get money, they go after things they never had before. So, you know, from his where he's from, he's never had what he's getting before. So you got girls coming from all over that's looking like things that you're never used to seeing. You're like, oh my gosh, I could get them just by saying, oh, I'm gonna pay your bill here, or I'll put you in the hotel over here, or take you to the restaurant. And they saying, yeah. I mean, he just a young brother, man. Look, when we was in high school, coming out of high school, and if them girls was throwing that sack our way, we were like, well, let's go.
The big difference is, like, the money he's spending money on a chick. I think a dude at the call center could pull. You know what I'm saying? It's not like he's pulling, like, the top of the line baddest chick, like, I could get this for my money. It's like you breaking serious bread on, you know, people that the timeline before they knew Zion was messing was kind of had jokes on. So, you know, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, what you're saying is this is his first opportunity to really get stuff. And I'm just like, I heard somebody say, I'm surprised somebody who went to Duke just didn't get him a white one and just go about his business, right? Why'd you go to Duke for it?
I can't believe he just damn dumb, but he is country as hell. So that I kind of get. Well, my thing was this. I ain't mad at him. You know, you're supposed to do numbers. You know what I'm saying? He came in. He wasn't married. You know, he's only 22 right now. I'm not mad at him doing numbers. I'm just mad at who he running behind. I'm like, dog, it's IG chicks, bro. You ain't got no NDAs in place. Like, where your OGs, man, supposed to tell you, hey, look, make sure she signed paperwork, bro. I'm telling you, like, that one right there is going to try to go out there and embarrass you. We talking about, number one, the biggest mouth out of them all is Mariah Mills. Bro, this is a porn chick, you know what I'm saying, who been chasing. She really kind of slid the porn because she was just chasing fame. Like, all she wanted to do was be famous. That's very clear that she needed to try to grasp on to some fame. And you just a dummy to help, you know, shine more light on her. And I'm just like, dog, listen, do your thing. Go out there and shoot, but get buckets. But NDAs, brother, non-disclosure agreements. But you know, gotta know they can't talk.
With the Mariah Moore situation, I don't even think that's real. I think it was just her just capping on the timeline, man. Maybe he did slide with her, but all the stuff that she was tweeting, it couldn't be real. It can't be real. Because at the same time, like you say, man, these players are making these women sign them papers, man. And for what she did and was exposing on social media, it can't be real. Trust me. It can't be real. She just was going about it like, oh, you were supposed to get me pregnant again. Huh? Like, be for real. Like, you, that's just stuff. That's stuff a chick that she mad that he didn't get her pregnant. Like, oh, yeah, he slid with you one time. Bye-bye. He gave you the money. He gone. Oh, then she talk about, oh, you was having sex with me without a condom. Yeah, that nigga didn't skeet inside you, but he skeeted inside somebody else. So now you mad. That's why I say I didn't believe none of it. I don't buy it. Like you say, she been chasing fame since her IG days. She went into porn thinking that was going to blow her up even bigger or whatever. And
yeah, that's why she was on fucking the white dude.
Yeah, and that's all she messed with is white dude. So it's like, come on. Y'all don't believe it. I mean, if y'all believe what she's saying, then it's crazy. Oh, you made me get my hair in plaits. I finally became the black woman you wanted me to. What? Oh, man, you better get out of here with this. Hey, come on, man. You finally became who? Like,
I didn't see that one. They shut, they deactivated, bro. They were like, yo, you got to shut up, man. Yeah, like, you're harassing at this point, and you can't do that. Like, at a point, you know, they're gonna be like, all right, that's enough.
Because it gets to the point where she might hurt herself, and then everybody gonna try to blame it on Zion. Like, oh, you the reason. Because, I mean, we've seen things like this happen. A chick, she's mad, she hurt from a dude, and then she hurt herself, and then they blame it on the dude. And all Zion is doing is like, hey, man, I'm 22. I'm fair game. I ain't married nobody. He ain't got no obligations to nobody.
He got about three other ones popped up on him. So I'm just like, yeah, he not handling the paperwork side of things.
Yeah, he just wow. He just, oh, I met him probably one night and slid. And probably that was it. You know what I'm saying? But again, a lot of these girls probably, once they find out who he is, and they say, oh, damn, this is the guy who everybody talking about? Oh, man, nigga, you look at my text message. Me and you were texting. You were saying this and this and that. I done seen that personally. I'm talking about, I ain't going to name celebrities. I done seen the celebrity show me like, yeah, man, chick didn't even know who I was until her friend told me who I was. And once she found out, that's when she started trying to, okay, this how the game played? Oh, yeah, some of these chicks don't be knowing, literally. You got some that do know, and then you got some that don't know. But once they find out.
Remember we had Jesus Shuttlesworth.
Yeah, look, you see what I'm saying?
Just what was that, last show? Whatever.
Yeah. It's just that easy, man.
The difference is, like, you don't have to, like, run game like you don't got money, like you're not Zion Williamson level of cash. You could just let it be known, hey, I want to get it in. This is it. Boom. But if you selling the basic girl dreams, she gonna believe it. And I think that's probably the biggest mistake he made, was he's selling dreams to these girls, like he kind of running game like he's still in high school. Like, yeah, I think you're kind of cool, blah blah blah, versus like, hey man, come through. All right, you gotta go.
Business transaction, yeah.
Right. Well, okay, so it was one girl, it's one girl that came out and she said it. She's like, man, look. He gave my money, like, he let me know that it's money here and that's it. Like, we had nothing else. And that's why I felt that Mariah was lying, because I'm like, okay, this girl came out and said, look, man, he was telling me all that same stuff, but he let me know this the money that he's paying for, and now I'm going about my business.
Well, this is my thing, too. See, she thinking she doing something right, but again, you supposed to be quiet, too. Then you say you got your bread? Shut up, bro. Don't say nothing, man. I seen a couple of the little escort chicks and all said, she, you know, like, I eat bitches like this. They be messing up my business. You know what I'm saying? Like, she know to just be like, look, jump in, jump out, get my money. You know what I'm saying? And God bless you. You be on your way. These cats be, you know, you got messy chicks, man. So you just got to be, just have some discernment with the type of chicks. Like, if I was getting to it like him, Mariah Mills is 1,000% off the board. Just not. Even if I just was like, I really wouldn't mind popping one time. I'm like, nah, she don't know how to act. I could just something about her telling me she gonna be clout chasing and reaching for the stars. And nah, they built a million other just like him, man. They just got a fresh crop back in from the DR right now, man. I ain't got to deal with one like this. It was just crazy too, cause like, you go chicks popping up. This do always happen too. A chick's gonna pop up when my man pop out with baby moms. They ain't know. Hey, sick, cause he got somebody pregnant. They ain't hit that jackpot. But hey, Zion did his thing. Hopefully he learned a little something, brother. Just kind of cool out. And you know, careful with your lineup, man. Take some tips from some of the goats that been out here, been doing their thing, and you know, women ain't never dare step forward and try to, you know what I mean, mash their name up out here in these streets, have them out here looking crazy. I'm trying to do a gender reveal, and I got a thotty reveal. Like, come on, man. I'm trying to bring out my kid, man, and come all my hoes out of knocked the whole toy. He knocked me off too. Right, you spit in my mouth. Oh, a lot of people spit in my mouth.
Man, you let all the white men spit in your mouth.
All kind of stuff been in your mouth. Don't come in here talking about
spitting. Yeah, right. That's crazy. You right. She the last. She like, come on, Zion. You could have came to Miami and got you a couple chicks like that.
Exactly. Uh-huh. A couple chicks like that, man. They would have been so quiet, bro. They just would have been like,
they play their role. They be like, man, you call me when you come to Miami, man. That's it.
Like when call I see me when her, you come to Miami. She's like the third option when you out of town. Like, all right, all else has failed. I guess I'll just take her home tonight. Like, that's the kind of vibe she gives me. She's not the I'm texting small talk during the day type if I'm him. But, you know, like this is, like you said, going from 1 year, you know, South Carolina, one year at Duke, and then you in New Orleans. And like, if you ain't learned the game, you're going to get caught up in that foolishness.
Yeah, you got to remember, too, the Duke cheek selection, probably not that grand. You know, this is an academic institution, bro. Duke ain't no.
But like you can't say that, man. Because if you been to Duke, North Carolina, not too far from Duke. It's like they got some girls that right. You can go down and speak to. It's like round the corner. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So his selection, he had a selection. It's just he didn't know. He don't know from the talent where he's from. He just ain't know. You know what I'm saying? And that's why you see they put up a little thing with him and John Morant. And I call them dumb and dumber because they don't know. They just don't know. They haven't been out there to know. You know what I'm saying? And Zion,
definitely
don't know. Guns and buns.
Yeah, guns and buns, yeah.
Yeah, that was hilarious. The internet will get you, man.
Yeah, and if you go to Duke, North Carolina Central ain't that far, so there's an HBCU nearby.
All of it's right there.
You're right. I forgot.
It's all right there.
I got people in that area, Durham area, yeah. I forgot all about that. Hell, Wake Forest ain't that far. If you really want to kind of
NC State's not that far.
All of it is within driving radius. Where you can say, man, let me get in this car and go slide. You know what I'm saying? You ain't gotta say, oh, but I gotta fly to another city. Or nah, you can really get in your car and say, man, let me go slide for an hour or two and be back.
Yeah, he's on.
And let's be real, he was there for basketball season. He wasn't there for a whole 4 years. He was there because he played basketball. So, like, okay, man, after basketball season, you ain't even got to come back to campus.
Nah, yeah, that was a wrap. That was a wrap. I'm sure he wasn't, you're right. I doubt he, what are you talking about? Anyway, yeah, I doubt he did any academics after the basketball season. Yeah, I could be wrong, but my gut feeling telling me that my boy did not he did not come back to school after the basketball season was over. But speaking of like crazy situations, man, with these women out here, bro, I want to send a shout out and one love to my boy Travis Rudolph, man. You know what I'm saying? Again, man, watch your woman's selection, you know. Kind of careful with who you messing around with. This is my thing, and I know these guys are young, but usually, bro, the signs of crazy ain't that far off. It's usually something that'll kind of tip you off. You can't ignore that, man. So, you know, everybody pretty much know the situation. But I guess quick synopsis that, you know, he was messing around with chick who was married. Now, I don't know how married she is. Like, I don't know if it's just on paper at this point. I don't know. She definitely wasn't acting really married. So, you know, they get into an altercation. She started attacking my man. And she sent her people around there to, you know what I'm saying, get it, dude. And long story short, one of them got popped and you know, wasn't able to make it home that night. So, you know, I was like happy for bro because at the end of the day, man, like that whole situation was instigated by that woman. None of this shouldn't have happened. And I didn't care, like, people was like celebrating. I was like, bro, you ain't finna tell me what to do. I almost lost my life in the physical form because people rolled up on me. You know what I'm saying? They did have firearms. Now, because they was playing with them, which is one thing I tell the person, you know, you will never do. You will never brandish no firearm. I mean, if you're going to pull it out, bro, you need to be ready to go and use that. And there's another prime example of a story to be learned here, lesson to be learned here. Firearms were involved. Just because you pull up on me and you too scared to use it, but you going to show me it? Bro, hey, listen, I ain't got time for you to find bravery in this moment. I'll find it for you. And, you know, so yeah, that young dude lost his life over these messy females, man, and the foolishness, man. So one time for Trav, man, I'm glad he out. Glad he able to, you know, be free, walk these streets. And shout out to Dalvin Cook, too. Dalvin held that man down, got him a good lawyer, put a house up for him for bond so he could stay home on house arrest. So shout out to you know, Brotherhood and holding your people down, man. That was real dope.
Yes, yeah, shout out to him, man. Look, I've seen a couple cases like that where chicks get their peoples involved with something, and next you know it goes south, and that went south. It definitely went south for the dude ended up getting killed. You know, it's bad for a life that was taken. That's the situation. But at the same time, man, us dudes got to start thinking a lot more logical. You know what I'm saying? Some of these women get you into situations where you be like, man, look, y'all got to deal with it yourself. You know what I'm saying? Don't call me.
Don't call me.
You know what I'm saying? Don't call me. Because at the end of the day, it's like, if you know I'm coming and you know how I come, why you calling me? Because you know that situation's going to get that way. And now right. You got niggas saying, like you say, man, you showing a gun. In my head said, it's like, okay, well, I got to shoot this nigga because he got a gun. Because I don't know if he's going to shoot me, but let me shoot him first.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? That's the situation what happened. Them boys had a gun. They was holding the gun to Travis' brother head. And Travis' head, all he could think about is, man, they finna shoot my brother and shoot me. And I got to shoot these people. You know what I'm saying? And I told people the only reason why they arrested Travis was because he had an AK-47. If Travis would have came out there with a handgun, they would have said, oh, yeah, stand his ground. He good. It was just the AK-47, and they felt like, oh, well, that's... I don't think that's a gun they want black folks to have, AK-47. That's just me. I'm just keeping up 100. I don't think they want black folks to have AK-47s. But he had it, and he hit them with it. You know, so... Glad he beat the case, man. Continue living his life. Sad situation for the dude who lost his life. I think the girl needs to be thrown in jail because she articulated the whole thing, and... That's that.
Yo, that like X said, man. Tell them don't call you. Tell them don't call you. Tell them call the laws. Cause if I get there and you know what I'm saying, the situation escalated, that it's gonna be a lot of sad singing and flower bringing. Somebody gonna die. Could be me. That's what I'm saying. So you escalating into a situation that you supposed to care about me. You calling me over there for? First off, you the one ain't got no business over there. You're married. You put your hands on that man. Now you calling me in to be the muscle. Like, oh, man, I'm not. Who is you? Nino Brown? I'm not on payroll, baby. You don't be calling me to come sick him. I'm not your dog to be sick on people as you instigate shit. And then I'm supposed to just come. Nah, hell no. No, sir. No way. So that ain't going to be learned. And if you smart, it ain't going to be your ass either. If you listen to this show, tell them to call them people. Let them sort it out. Let them go ahead and remove my man from the situation and let cooler heads prevail. And then don't bother with him no more. Cause see, that'd be the other part. They call you over there for that dude, be right there messing with that dude again. Know what I'm supposed to do? Go over there again when shit get heated? Nah, no sir. Don't send me on no dummy mission. Right. You crash out, not land.
And if you that dude who likes to get them called, I'm not that dude who's a girl probably not going to call me for that. But if you that dude, just think back to what happened to Merlin Santana. You know what I'm saying? This girl claimed that, you know, he did this to me. The dude shot him in the head, killed him. And he never did nothing to her to that level. The girl was just mad that they broke up. So now you ended somebody's life. Now you're going to go to jail because of her emotion. So I know people listen to the show. We might have, you know, different type of people. Like, you got to take people's words at face value and just, you know, why are you running up on somebody like that for something that ain't that real? Like, and if that man, if she got a husband, shoot, that husband could have rolled up on Rudolph and had a conversation. So that it was just a sad story, but it's just one of them things that it's a lot of lessons to learn. If people, between Zion and this, there's a lot of lessons that people can take from it and be better because of it.
Yeah, watch these holes, man. That's the lesson to be learned. Let's get into a little football.
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees, your Miami Hurricane football barbershop talk. It's your guy Larry here, one more again, joined by my cohorts. No Measy this week. We're recording on a weird day. He in there educating the children, man. He believe the children are the future. I personally disagree, but hey, it is what it is. They all we got right now. Please help him, Measy. I'm glad you're helping these children as opposed to talking football with us. Somebody got to do something with the youths. But we do have with us as usual, the field general, our main man, X. What up, X?
Yo, what's good? What's happening, people? Back again. On Orthodox Day, what you say? What is Wednesday?
Yeah, Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah, so we here on Wednesday, but yeah, we still got some stuff, you know what I'm saying, some stuff for you guys, some Kane info.
Yeah.
I know a lot of y'all scratching and itching and fiending for that information, so we definitely got some info for you guys.
It's June, y'all vibe a little bit, the block warming up, the skillet has just been, you know, the oven is on preheat, man, relax. We got with us, the homie D-Rob, I think D-Rob in the middle of it.
What's going on, fellas? Like you said, it is an odd day. It ain't a beautiful day today in Georgia. So, you know, it slowed down a little bit. Wi-Fi twerking a little bit. So we good to go, man. Can't wait to start talking Cam's recruiting, man.
No doubt. And for the first time in a long time, man, we got – the homie producer Maul is here with us. He's still part of the team. He's still the one to chop up the shows and get them out for us. Help us with our docket and whatnot. But timing ain't been allowing him to hop on mic with us for a while. So he actually here to kick it with us for a little bit today, man.
What up, y'all, man? It's been a grind, man, for me. You know, but still on it. You know, and just I've been in the shadows, but I've been neck and neck with everybody in terms of the show. So, you know, we still doing our thing, and you know, we gonna have this, do this summer good and go into this football season, man. I got a good feeling about this football season because there's no expectation. So I just got this good feeling.
I know, right? It's one of them weird things where I'm like, do I do this every season? Kind of. But I guess that's the beauty of the all season is you don't really know. So we get to see, you know, we get to see how things actually unfold. But I'm with you. I got some excitement, man, about this season. I think our expectations are the roof at the floor has been raised. I mean, even Vegas got us at 7.5. So the floor has been raised. They do expect us to at least get on the winning side of things. In Mario's second year, so there's some, but yeah, they're not astronomical. I think it's very doable as well. So we'll see how things ultimately shake out once we get to rolling into the actual season. But one reason I'm glad we got Maul here today too is so there was an announcement, I guess what, 2 weeks ago now, right? That Miami had joined the AAU. And I was like, I don't really know what that means. Did a little bit of reading on it. But yeah, we got Maul here with us. I know he's a little more well versed in it. So we're gonna jump into that for a little bit before we get into the recruiting thing. So kind of what's the significance that, what, first off, what is the AAU?
Actually what it is, let me just get the correct verbiage. The AAU is the Association of American Universities. Pretty much, and what it is an organization of research universities that kind of hold each other to a certain standard, and a lot of research money is allocated to these schools for research purposes. It's in the billions of dollars. So that's one reason why, like, all the Big Ten schools, they're all AAU. Nebraska was, but they got kicked out, but they're still in the conference. But that's why when it was announced recently that Miami and Notre Dame were both, you know, now AAU members, and now people are like, well, is Notre Dame trying to make the play to go into a conference too? And if you listen to people, one thing people said, well, Big Ten might not want Miami because they're not an AAU school, but now they are. And other two schools that got it too was South Florida and Arizona State. But essentially just what it is it's kind of, you kind of like a little prestigious club, you know, of different universities that are like-minded. And if you think about Miami, Miami's always kind of been that. And this isn't something that they tried to do like last year. They've been for decades trying to get into this, but to tie it into football, pretty much it makes the conference a lot more appealing. It makes the university a lot more appealing to the Big Ten. And doesn't mean that there's some SEC schools that aren't AAU, because some of them are. UF is, A&M. But what it's going to do is just going to allow the university to operate at an even greater level that's going to bring in more money to the university. Long story short, and I think what's going to happen is if one back scratches the other, if these Big Ten schools voted you in the AAU, obviously they're going to eventually want you to join the conference. And just to the point where we can move it more to talking about realignment, whenever that goes around, Miami is going to be in the Big Ten. Miami's not going to the SEC, and I think people are starting to see that. And I'll let y'all kind of go back and forth with me about it, but just Miami aligns better with the Big Ten for what the Big Ten's trying to do. If you look at the schools they're trying to get, they got the schools in LA, the two LA schools. And if you notice, they haven't brought in Washington. They haven't brought in Oregon. Reason why is just those schools will not bring them more money. But if they can get into the state of Florida for the Big Ten, that will bring them money, just like if they got into the Carolinas, that would bring them money. And conversely, when you look at the SEC, adding two more Florida schools and a South Carolina school isn't really making the conference more money. If the conference is going to make money, they're going to need to get North Carolina and a Virginia school in there to extend that blueprint for the SEC. So just in terms of fans who are still SEC or bust, it's not going to happen, because at the end of the day, the SEC don't want Miami, and I'll leave it at that. And if people want to go back and forth on that, that's cool. But you got to go where you want it, and you got to go where you're considered an asset and where you want it.
Nah, that's facts. I know so the coffers get bigger basically with joining AAU. I wonder what took so long, because I know the academics has kind of already been up there.
What took long is that it's been 6 years since any more schools got invited. So it's not necessarily like every year we add new members. So it's just been, the timing has been really interesting. So, but the part that a lot of people don't realize is FSU is trying to get into AAU as well. So is Clemson. So is Virginia Tech. So is NC State. These other schools in the ACC that was part of that Magnificent Seven, that were the schools that talked about where maybe they're trying to make a move, they're willing to leave the ACC. So all these schools are trying to academically align themselves, and all those schools are close. And I think Florida State and Clemson's trying to leverage ESPN because they want to have an option, because ESPN, they could just sit on their hands and say, ACC schools, y'all are fine. Y'all figure it out. But one thing I tell people is stop thinking SEC, Big Ten. It's ESPN, Fox. They got the money. They make the decisions. If you go back and you go back the last two big moves, Fox set up the LA schools going to the Big Ten. And ESPN navigated Texas and Oklahoma because of the Longhorn Network and all that money. So we don't got to go down that path. But just think of the conferences is pretty much the people pushing the product, and the networks is the supplier. So the supplier is going to dictate where stuff is allocated. So you're not going to be able to make a decision without what the supplier and plug says is going to do, to give you an analogy, if that makes sense.
Nah, it makes total sense. I know, like, for as far as reaching markets, I kind of eliminated us from the SEC mentally a while back. Everybody know Florida don't want us in the SEC. Not that they necessarily even have like the biggest pull or the loudest voice, like you said. It's kind of bigger than them. It's beyond that, you know, with the network. So with the networks, it will make more sense to. Market-wise, who makes the most sense in order to increase our market. And I think, you know, I think Miami's intriguing to them, to the Big Ten as well, just because they would like to get that Southern presence. And if Miami's able to kind of turn the corner, especially under this Mario regime, it adds more legitimacy, you know, to their conference as well as when it comes to football. You know, they've got some of the better teams. Don't get me wrong. They're obviously, I would say, you know, they're obviously top to bottom conference wise. They got to be number two in recent years. But, you know, they're still got some of that, you know, people stigmatize you and you get a narrative placed upon you. Like, you know, they big and slow out there. So they would probably like to add the imagery, at least, of Miami speed and a Southern presence to legitimize them that much more if things were to go through that way. But nonetheless, I mean, I know you've been following this conference stuff for a while. Either way, like, I think the ACC is on its way out. As far as the conference in whole, I don't even know if they're going to survive it. But, like, the time when we could leave is still going to be some years off, right?
Yeah, like, if the according to the contract, they can't leave till 2036. If you listen to what's going on, the reason why I brought up those seven schools is if eight schools chose to possibly vote on that in their bylaws, they could vote on the conference. I can't school agreeing to do that without knowing where they're going to land, right? So I'm not going to vote to disband the ACC unless I know I got my Big Ten invite, I got my SEC invite, or I'm going to find a safe landing spot in the Big 12 or something like that. But again, everybody's talking about conferences. Well, this conference won't do that. ESPN and Fox got all the money. They're making all the decisions. So once ESPN and Fox decides, well, we're going to decide to send these schools here, those schools here, and there's 20 different ways you could mix it up. But the thing is, you look at the grant of rights, that stuff, ESPN controls that. So if ESPN can say, well, we need FSU, Clemson, North Carolina, and another in Virginia to join the SEC, we can make more money that way. The mother ACC schools will pay it out. So at the end of the day, it's just going to be a matter of how do the networks decide to split up the pie of these schools. But just the, if you don't break it up early, essentially the ACC schools are gonna not die off, but they're not gonna be able to compete with Big Ten schools. You cannot for the next 10 years have Indiana University making over $100 million a year in a TV deal, and Florida State Miami's making $40 million. That doesn't make any sense when you look at the money. It just doesn't make any sense. Purdue, Illinois, no, making $100 million a year, and well, you guys signed this contract for this deal, because at some point ESPN's going to lose they're going to waste the value of Florida State Miami Clemson anyways. So that's why at some point they're going to have to figure it out. Some of these schools are going to have to leave off, and they probably tired of paying Boston College, Syracuse $30-40 million a year, because they're not really doing nothing for the ACC neither.
That's crazy to me, honestly, like, that they ever even signed a deal that long. Like, it's like, I'm not the most business savvy person, but I'm like, bro, who told y'all to sign this damn?
Yeah, we had some Magic Johnson. We had some real bozos in the ACC, man. That went and signed that deal, and one of them who kind of orchestrated. I ain't gonna say he orchestrated the whole thing, but he was our former AD, and he was a part of that deal. So we gotta you should have had the slap button on that on the things. Slap that guy, man. What the hell was he thinking? He orchestrated that and the Adidas deal. Like, what was you doing?
Everybody knows, bro, when it comes to, like I said, I ain't the most business savvy. Everybody knows you don't go into super long-term deals. You want a shorter deal and reevaluate things in that type of situation because your football going to be on TV somewhere, right? So bet on yourself a little bit and be like, well, let's do a five-year deal, maybe a 10-year deal, whatever. You don't sign no 15, 20-year deal, bro. Like, that's like signing Magic Johnson for the rest of his life for $1 million a year. Like, come on, dog.
But see, Larry, I'm gonna give you an idea why I think they probably did it. I'm gonna tell you why. Because I think that if the Texas and Oklahoma smoke and all that other type of smoke happened before they signed the new deal, I don't think they would have did it. You know, like the Texas and Oklahoma, that came out of nowhere. Oh, breaking news. Oklahoma, Texas has getting out of this and going to the SEC. Everybody was like, what the hell? Like, how did that happen? Excuse me. Even with the UCLA and USC. Like, that was out of nowhere. All of a sudden, now they, soon as they come, now all of a sudden, oh, Big Ten got a whole new deal coming. So I think that long-term deal was done without knowing that this would be the outcome. If they would have known of the Texas and Oklahoma and UCLA and USC bolting to go to other conferences, I don't think that long-term deal even comes into play because then it's like, okay, let's look at the money. Oh, y'all ain't trying to give us this? Okay, well, then we gone in 2024, 2025, or whenever the original deal was up. Like, everybody's already gone. You know what I'm saying? Look at Colorado. They're already negotiating jumping to the back to the Big 12. So it's like, go ahead.
But you're right. That's why you don't sign the long deal in the first place.
So let me
know what's coming down the pipe.
It messed around and made all the ACC teams sign a Scottie Pippen deal. They gave us a Scottie Pippen deal.
So let me tell y'all what happened. Because back in, there was a stretch where Texas, Oklahoma reached out to the ACC at one point. And ACC was like, yeah, maybe in the future we could look to do that where the ACC was in a position to be aggressive and get and consider getting them. But they didn't, because if you look at why they signed this deal is because the old ACC commissioner, I think his name was Swofford, I believe. I forgot his name, but essentially he signed this terrible deal which lined up the pockets for his own family. Like the Raycon deal, why all these other games be on these weird networks. Because
this nigga diabolical.
Yes, they staggered. Oh, they staggered the deal to. It took so long for the ACC network to get created that if they would have signed the proper deal at that time, but he wanted to. He sent all the tier three rights, like the smaller games, to Raycon networks, which was the network that
Valley Sports.
Yeah, that his son was a part of. So essentially, he lined up his family. The old ACC commissioner lined up his family pockets. I'll probably post something about the history of that on the chat, like on the Twitter account. But essentially, that's what happened. Old ACC commissioner Carolina person lined up his pockets, and in the short term, no one really thought it'd be that big of a deal. But the crazy part is, before the ACC deal ends, the Big Ten can negotiate their deal two more times.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's just good business.
But the thing that's important, reason why I think this is going to mash up is because if you look at the Big Ten deal, a lot of people, I don't even think, recognize this yet. CBS is now with the Big Ten. That 3:30 CBS game is not SEC anymore. That is actually a Big Ten game moving forward. So Fox at noon has the the Big Ten game of the week, essentially. And then 3:30, the SEC game is now going to be a Big Ten game. And then NBC on Sunday night is going to be a Big Ten game. That's kind of the deal. That's why it's so big, is because those three big networks all came together. But how many? Ohio State can't play twice in a week. Michigan can't play two different. There's only so many good Big right. Ten schools. That's why they need brands. Because if Miami's good, you could put Miami at Iowa on a night game, and people will watch it.
And then, I don't know if you saw, but also they have the option the week prior to pick the primetime game. It's no longer where all the time slots and, you know what I'm saying, 3-4 weeks ahead. No, like leading up to it, you're not going to see the Iowa versus Indiana. They're going to be like, oh, nah, that's not a primetime game. We go ahead and put that, you know what I'm saying, on like a little 2:30 or whatever on their little network. You're going to get a big-time school. So you're always going to probably get UCLA, USC, Miami, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan. They're always going to be in one of those primetime slots. And I would love to see Miami, Ohio State, Miami, Penn State, or Miami, USC as a primetime game. I would love to see that.
I don't know, boy. Al Golden said we don't do good in night games.
But the crazy, part is, if you join the SEC, all them other brands are going to want to be highlighted more, and they would not focus on Miami being put. Versus, you go to that other conference, they need you, and don't sleep. The Big Ten wants Florida State as well. The Big Ten's trying to get all the brands they can snatch up, and of course, they probably won't get all of them, but they're at least trying to, which shows you that the SEC and ESPN is going to have to. They're going to have to take somebody, but they can't just take Florida State and Clemson, because if you let UNC go to the Big Ten, ESPN's going to lose a lot of money during basketball season. I understand football drives this, but imagine basketball season with ESPN's basketball with no North Carolina, no Duke. Like, there's nothing to turn on. You're going to watch Alabama play Kentucky every week. So I think that the ESPN does not want North Carolina to go to the Big Ten. But at some point, they're going to have to figure out how to get these brands going. So, you know, just at the end, we could, to wrap it up, wrap this part up, it's just a matter of Miami, we're going to be straight. We're going to be in the Big Ten when the time comes. That's what's going to happen. Florida State, Clemson, that's going to be negotiated. Personally, I would tell you that North Carolina is going to go to the SEC because it just makes sense. Because that's probably North Carolina and Virginia is probably the only two South states that SEC is not in that actually fits and makes sense and would actually make the SEC money to then add on the back end. All right, we could add a second Florida school, or we could add a second South Carolina school, because they need ESPN going to need that revenue to make the SEC more money. So just adding schools don't make you money, even with the Big Ten, because that's why they ain't add Oregon and Washington, because they're just like, y'all not going to make us money right now. And none of these big schools want to share their money. They're going to only let you in the conference if you make money. And one last quick point with Notre Dame, their NBC deal, if you think about it, the Big Ten and NBC is working together. So Notre Dame isn't going to make as much money as they did before if there's no ACC of what it is. Because why would the Big Ten agree to partner with Notre Dame? They'd be like, nah, just join the conference. So yeah. I think eventually Notre Dame-Miami goes to the Big Ten, North Carolina goes to the SEC, and then Florida State or Clemson, it'll work out one way or another.
No doubt. Good talk, man. I know this conference realignment stuff been buzzing for a while. You know, I personally always wanted all the SEC smoke. But, you know, it's business, like you say. So do what you got to do. You know, I really don't care. Like, at the end of the day, just get Miami good and all the rest of that shit.
Yeah, that's it. Man, as long as Miami good, I'm good. I don't care. The only thing I just want to keep the Florida State rival going. Like, if, you know, as long as we can keep that going, then I don't care what conference we go in. You know what I'm saying? So,
no doubt. All right, man. Let's get into, you know, the block is warming up. It's literally hot as hell.
Well, the block was hot. The block was hot. You know, we got to commit.
Well, I mean, literally. I mean, it's literally getting hot outside.
Oh, yeah, it's literally. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's literally like yesterday, bro. I walked outside because I was like, holy shit. Yeah, it's that time of year now, boy. It was like, I think it slapped down about 97 yesterday. God, it's hot out here. Yeah, man, it was hot as hell. Luckily, being closer to the, you know, to the water, we get a little more breeze, but still, it's hot, man. But yeah, in recruiting world as well, man. You know, great recruiting weekend by all accounts. A lot of work got done. A lot of inroads were made, and I guess bonds strengthened, and a lot of good news, basically, in the sense of positive vibes. We'll say positive feelings coming out of that huge weekend. We still got a couple more big ones coming up. I think the 23rd is kind of being downplayed a little bit, but I think that one's going to be a really big weekend as well.
Every weekend in June is big. I don't know why. I think the reason why everybody assumed, well, not you can't assume that the 9th was the big weekend was because it was what, 5 stars.
Yeah,
and then you literally had 14 high rated players come in. So it's like you got 5 stars, and you got maybe another 6 top 4 stars, and you got, you know what I'm saying, low 4-3 star. But every week is big, you know. And before I even get into it, like I said, between this week, I mean this past weekend and the first weekend, man, we could literally land maybe between 8 to 9 of those guys who visited from June 2nd. To the 11th, we could literally land maybe between 8 to 9 guys. Mm. And that's not including the one we already landed.
Yeah, so we start there, I guess. So we got commitment from
Pruitt. Cameron Pruitt.
Yeah.
Pruitt, safety linebacker, 6. They got his weight wrong. They got him listed at 180, 187. He's about 6'3". 6'2", 1, he's about 200, 205, probably bigger than that, like literally. So I don't know what was that about. I think they probably just still got him
old numbers. Yeah,
yeah, old numbers. And then they got him still listed as a safety, like a full safety. He's not a safety, he's a linebacker.
Yeah, athletic kid, like really really rangy, real long, like as far as his wingspan. He's got long arms, just sideline to sideline fast, violent, really violent. You can tell he's a guy that got that attitude, that like to tackle. He's a good pickup in that sense. Only had 3 stars. I know y'all okay. Y'all just, you know, just relax. I know ain't enough stars for you just yet. Remember, they do have a whole season to play, y'all.
Yeah, he's a 3-star composite. He's a 4-star 24/7. Every other site has him as a high 3-star. So I'm pretty sure that he's probably gonna get that bump up a little bit. So in the end, he's probably gonna be a 4-star. Like I said, just my only concern with him now is he's still taking visits. He's going to see, I think, Arkansas, he says, and I know he was at LSU and they loved him. I don't know if they gave him that a committable offer or anything like that, but I know they loved what he did. So we'll see. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if it wasn't for that visit that he has upcoming, then he said that, oh, in July I'm going to make a final decision. That kind of got me like, eh, because why would you need to do that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it if you want to take you still want to take visits. Okay, cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, these kids gonna take their visits. They could take more official visits, but for you to say, "Oh, I'm my final decision gonna come in July," that has me a little iffy.
You know, I just like I just think a lot of that's just these kids, man. Like nowadays, that's just a weird ass thing to do. Yeah, I don't, you know, I know like you're not quote unquote worried, like, but it is very strange behavior. It's like, all right, bro, what are you doing? Like, you committed, but you still going to take the visits, and then I'm making a final. I don't know. How to what's the vibes around this?
They told him staff like him. They like him. And then again, like you say, he's still taking visits. The staff is prepared, you know, even if he doesn't sticks at the end of this class, they're prepared to land other linebackers. It's not something that they say, hey man, commit and then just shut it down. You know, I'm not gonna say it was a surprise visit because he wasn't expected to come initially. You know, we end up getting him to come, and once he came, it was like, oh man, he loved it so much that he wanted to commit. You know, so it's like, okay, yeah, we'll take your commitment. But at the same time, you know, Mario lets all the commits know, like, hey man, we're gonna take your commitment. But if you start looking around and you want to go on visits, guess what? We're doing the same thing. And if somebody wants your spot, guess what? They got it. You know what I'm saying? So, and I think that's the thing. But you know, it's nothing for the staff to worry about, because at the end of the day, he's not their top priority that they wanted at linebacker. He goes good with what they want. You know, so yeah,
he fits the system well.
Yeah, he fits the system. It's not like, okay, you know, he's priority number one or priority A. You know what I'm saying? If that was the case, then it'd be like, hey man, shut this shit down. Nah. Right. You know, but he's not that. He's like, okay, yeah, we want you, but we're not going to stop you from if you want to go out. You know what I'm saying? Because if we wanted you and we wanted to stop you, we're going to do everything we got to do to stop you. And that's it.
Yeah, I know outside of him, it seemed like Nesta is climbing their board quite a bit. Like, would you say he's like priority one, two?
I think he's a top priority, but Cole is priority one. Nesta is right there. I'm hearing they trying their best to pick up again with Daylon Williams, the linebacker that's out from California. They trying to pick that back up because that was before things got real cold with him. He was top priority. He was top number one. And it kind of like seemed like, he got official now. So, but it kind of like got cold where it was like, man, communication probably stopped. But Nesta is top priority. But his thing, I thought he should have committed after his visit. You know, so he's going to visit North Carolina. He's going to visit Oklahoma. It's like, that kind of worries me. You know what I'm saying? Because he's from Carolina, but it worries me. Like, he's from Carolina. Then he has that relationship with Venables, who was at Clemson for years. So that worries me a lot. And that's why I was saying, man, if he didn't commit after that visit, I'm not putting him in the class. You know, I guess I see a lot of people saying they add him to the class, but I'm like, not me. Because that worries me. You know what I'm saying? For the fact that he's from Carolina. You know what I'm saying? He's going to visit North Carolina. And he does have that relationship with Venables, who's at Oklahoma. So it's like, you know, what he does. But the visit went great. Hey, so, they thought he was they like him. They like him a lot. So.
Hey, so I think he visited North Carolina this past weekend.
Yeah.
Not too much came out of that visit. So I'm not worried about the Carolina. Oklahoma's who I'm worried about. And I know that they say the staff has been trying to get him to cancel that visit, whatever the case may be. He ain't canceled it yet. If he ain't canceled it by now, I don't think he is. And I think once he gets to Oklahoma, like, it's going to shift into their favor, and he's probably going to go there. So that's why I don't like that's the one thing I don't like, man.
So let me ask you this. Is Oklahoma a good baseball school? Because he wants to play baseball. Like, he wants to play baseball a lot, too.
I can't remember if Oklahoma doing pretty good in baseball.
I don't know.
That was the question I was going to add to this, was because the baseball coach from Miami got fired, and is that a part of his hesitation? I imagine if he just visited the team.
Oh, damn, man. I didn't even think about it. He did just get fired. Resigned, whatever they want to call it. Oh, man.
Well, no longer here. Either way, you know, he has to – he probably would want to know who the next baseball coach is.
Who would be the next baseball coach, Because my thing with this is, if I'm Miami, I'm smart enough to say, man, look, we want you, you know what I'm saying, but we're going to put you on this baseball scholarship before we put you on this football scholarship. That way we can still take numbers. I mean, that's just me thinking. Because you're going to play football anyway, but give you the baseball scholarship. That way we can still take the numbers in football, you know. But, yeah, man, I just thought of what you just said. I just thought about it. I didn't, the baseball coach Gino is gone, so, yeah.
You still think we're looking at 3 to 4 linebackers? Because, I mean, we got Shavers. And then, like you said, the Nesta situation is still on the table. Cole is a priority. What was his name?
Dallin Williams.
Being on the table there. And,
yeah, I think it's still 3 to 4 linebackers.
All right, bet. Okay.
Because then you got to look at the numbers that what we'll need for next year, you know, because just say we actually have a young linebacker core, but then we still could possibly lose three to four guys, you know what I'm saying? So it's like you still need that depth, man. You still need that depth there.
Yeah, we took a big haul of linebackers last season, but again, like you said, that young, you know, you always got to worry about the portal. So yeah, you want to bring in. I think a class of four would be a pretty good addition, just to look for attrition and to keep pushing that room. As far as competition goes, you want to make sure nobody gets too comfortable either. So
exactly, and not to cut you off, Larry, but one thing, you know, you Kane fans, y'all listening to this, y'all always be like, oh man, we can't take too much. I don't think Bama fans or Georgia fans or Ohio State fans or Clemson fans say that. They be like, man, take them. You know what I'm saying? If you put somebody out, just push them out. That's it. Like, hey, you take as much as you can each year because you never know what happens. You know what I'm saying? You can't say, okay, well, we just going to take two. You'll end up looking like you will. You know what I'm saying? How we used to look. Yeah. People get hurt, and now you gotta wait for a walk-on to get out there or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's been that way. Even before the portal, you look at a school like Alabama, like, they would have people transferring all the time because of just getting too crowded. But that's fine. That's just what you got to do. You gotta load up the arsenal and let it do what it do. Some of them going to leave. Some great talent. Some of them guys even go on and have NFL careers. These aren't slouches. It's just – things get a little bit crowded, and it's hard to get everybody on the field and able to win football. So, yeah, you just keep going. You just keep going because once you get really talented, part of that game is always going to be losing talent. That's just what it's going to always be. So you want to have another talented piece to replace them with. So, you know, I guess the linebacker thing, and they also still trying to flip the Florida commit. Wasn't it Aldarius?
Yeah, Aldarius. Yeah, they want to try to get him down on a visit. I'm hearing they trying to work that out now. Florida obviously is trying to block the visit from happening. But you know, the staff is going to do their best. Even if it doesn't happen during the summer, they're going to try to get him down. At least try to get him down during the season. You know, see how that goes. I don't think it's going to happen, but you know, it's just something to keep an eye on at the end of the day.
No doubt. And you know, season be coming up too, so you know, that's the thing. Like, we have a chance to audition in the actual season for a lot of these guys. Both offensively and defensively, especially with new coordinators coming up. But so does the University of Florida. And I don't know how good those guys are going to look this year. Just being honest, no troll. I just don't – I don't have high hopes for them. I think they got a pretty good offensive line, some good running backs. Quarterback play is obviously in question. I don't think they're really that talented in the wide receiver room.
They young though, so it's like,
yeah, right. And then the defensive side of the ball, They were really bad last year, so I don't know how improved they are going to be, you know, just 1 year after. I don't know.
And with the schedule they have, they're not going to be that much improved from what you seen last year.
Right. At least.
And then again, they just lost to what, top four? What do you got? What he was drafting, number four or five? The quarterback.
Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, they just lost a top quarterback, you know. So just imagine some of the games that he did win, you know, for them. they don't got no quarterback on their roster that's gonna try to win the game for them this year like that. So it's like, hey man, I don't see things looking good for them this year, especially not this year, you know. Yeah. So the
we got a chance to.
We got a chance. We definitely got a chance to look better.
Show some things and be like, well, this is our future. You know, would you like to be a part of it? And you'd be like, well, that's their future. Would you like to be a part of that? You know, and we basically at the same starting points. We both hired new coaches at the same time. So you're still in that same realm of, hey, it's new over here too. So.
Right. And we're kind of hit the full bottom out where last year they was trying to sell themselves on, we got this top pick and we're doing just fine. And then you look at the record, we both got seven losses. What you like to say, Larry, and we're neighbors. So it's like, we got full seven losses, but you know, we already hit the bottom. We on our way up. So that should be fun.
Yeah. We'll get to see. So,
yeah, the crazy thing is, and it's crazy because last year we was basically in recruiting battles with them, and we won most of the battles, you know. So this year it's like they aren't trying to recruit the same people we're recruiting, not that many, because they know they just don't stand a chance against us. It's like, man, let's stay away from Mario, man, because he you know he's closing, you know what I'm saying, and. That's literally real. When you look at the recruits we're after, yeah, they recruit them, but they not recruiting them as hard as they was last year. Last year, every recruit we had that we got, they was recruiting hard, and they just couldn't win it. So this year, it's like, man, okay, we looking at their list. Yeah, we want them, but, man, let's see if we can just start getting some other kids, because we know Mario just, I mean, their guy just ain't going to out-recruit Mario. So.
No doubt. Let's see. I guess the other name that was kind of popping up is Commit Watch. A guy close to pulling the trigger would be the Lofton kid out of Vegas.
Yeah, Lofton. Yeah.
Elijah Lofton, the tight end. They call him Baby Brevin. Chain number or whatnot. I don't know if he plays exactly like Brevin, but, you know. Obviously,
he's more physical. He's more physical than Brevin. He's stronger, more physical than Brevin. So he definitely likes to block. You know what I'm saying? So that's one thing. Brevin didn't have a problem with blocking, but that just wasn't his thing, you know. But this guy likes to block a lot. He can catch the ball and run, so that's a good thing about that. So he has the full total package. He just isn't your 6'5" tight end.
Right. Right. But he's still a four-star for a reason, too, so that goes to speak on his production. Because, yeah, he's undersized in that regard. You know, like I said, probably be a bit of an H-back type, situation with him. I know he's got Texas on the horizon as a visit. Supposedly, there's a lot
of... Yeah, it's supposed to be visiting that, but I think they probably going to end up canceling that one.
Probably end up this weekend, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be this weekend, but they might end up canceling it. And then he might end up popping this weekend.
Well, if he cancels, I think he's going to pop. Be a good get. The tight end board like got a little shook up. I don't know how many they're trying to take there. I guess two, right? Two would be the goal for the cycle.
Yeah, two would be the number.
Yeah,
It's basically two for every position, two or more for every position. Two or more for every position.
So, we were trying to kind of jump in with the Walter Matthews kid. He ended up committing to USC. It was down to USC in Florida. So, congratulations, USC. Too bad, Florida. I know still on the board. Is he? Has he? Amir Jackson. Do we have a?
Yeah, he comes September. He's coming the first week of September or the second week, I think.
For an official.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's holding out. Okay, as far as making a decision, I know basically with us it's him and Florida with him.
Gotta think about the guy named Tavion Galloway. That's the tight end who just decommitted from LSU.
He was a kid that they were on early. I know he had a relationship with LSU early. For a while there, committed. I remember him, really enjoying himself and really liking the staff. And initially he said he was going to come back down and do a visit with Miami. And I guess in that time frame, he went ahead and committed to LSU. But with that being open back up, that would be a great circle back and see if we can get this kid, interested in joining the fold. And he would be that more outside tight end that we'd be looking to kind of complement the class. So
I think we have a tight end that kind of similar, that kind of mirrors his game, Riley Williams. Because this guy is 6'5", Riley Williams about 6'5", 6'6", coming in at 230. They both could block, and they both could go out there and catch the ball. The total full package of a tight end.
Right. And then the new name just came out was Jamie Trimble. What's kid?
Oh, yeah, That's a name that just popped up. Yeah.
Yeah, his name just popped up. He's a four-star composite kid out of Norcross, Georgia. So another name that they kind of gotten interested in the tight end room as well.
Well, we missed the commitment. We didn't talk about Demetrius Freeney. We got the JUCO cornerback.
Oh man, I totally forgot.
We got the number two JUCO cornerback. Demetrius Freeney. He's joining the class. He's joining the incoming freshman class this year. Well, so he'll have three. He's 23. He'll be in the 23 class. He'll have three full years of eligibility.
Okay. Damn, bro. We done brought in mad cornerbacks, bro. That cornerback room looking
totally. Well, we just had two get drafted. Gonna say lost. We just had two get drafted. One transferred. The Rogers kid, he transferred. And you just really needed more corners because we didn't do a good job recruiting cornerbacks.
Nah, that's a fact.
You know what I'm saying? So you just needed to bring in some guys who can compete, like, right away. And we did that.
Total reload there. Yeah, man, I like this film. I went and watched kid. So, that's great to know he's in 2023, too. This is a guy that's going to be able to come in and compete as well, man. I think, which was just absolutely needed, like, that room for whatever we brought in talent-wise has just, A, the talent I don't think has been up to par, and then B, it's like, well, here's your default guys. And then I think, yeah, you add these bodies to just be like, look, we got to get better in here, and we're going to bring some real competition. And everybody wipe your name off the board. We're going to get in here and find out who's cornerback 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And so, awesome ad there. Number two, his teammate's number one. But he would be 2024, right, based on his eligibility.
Yeah, he'll be 2024. If he does commit, he would commit and he would be here. He would be able to join – In January 24 club, but he'll be an early enrollee for January if he does commit. So
can he come in? He can work out and all that.
Yeah, if he does commit, he will be one of those cases where if he does commit, if you want us to have a later bowl game like January, early January, he could probably practice with the team. You know what I'm saying, that week.
Gotcha.
Let's just keep our hopes up with that one. I heard his visit went great. you know, it's still time for him. So, but I heard the visit went great. He's definitely thinking about what UM could do for him and what he could do for UM.
Joining the homie. I know I think USC and Oregon in that one as well. Like he says, a little wild for that for the boy.
It's Penn State and Utah are the two. Yeah. Penn State and Utah are the two schools that I've heard. I didn't hear much about USC and Oregon with Tim though.
Okay, I might be mixing it up. I know I saw USC for sure. Nah, I don't know how much buzz is there. How much heat is actually there? That one. I know. Adai has a former teammate out there.
It's Adai, the coach who actually coaches them is Adai teammate, and that's the connection right there.
Yeah,
and, that's the connection right there.
Yeah, I heard Mario got a good relationship with that staff out there as well.
Back from Oregon days, yeah.
Yeah, from his Oregon days as San Mateo. So, all right, I guess let's get to the big boys, man. The trenches.
Before we get into the big boy, we might well go with the top dog. What that boy that's committed to that school that I guess is our rival school scared to go at. They scared to go at this school, but we going at them. You know what I'm saying? Top cornerback in the nation, Ellis Robinson.
Ellis Robinson.
Visit went great, man. Parents loved it. They feeling Mario. They feeling Coach Adai. I think this one could be possible. This one could start. It's starting to feel like it could happen. And I'm not saying it's going to happen because again, that's Georgia. They 2-time national champs, number one and number two recruiting class every year. It's a great sale. But I just think, boy, if UM could have some good stuff going on the field and some game situations, this is something that could possibly happen.
Yeah, I agree there. I think everything I've been hearing, man, I think we play some decent ball and we get them, period. Like, I just think you want to see – last year was so bad that it's like, look, just play some decent ball and I'll come on in. I give y'all a shot because I can see you selling me on the vision. I can see the trajectory, but you got to start showing me the trajectory. And that's fair. I think that's fair. You know, Mario wasn't brought in here to be a five-year rebuild as far as, like, playing decent football. Not saying championship level by year three, but in order to be playing competent football, that's supposed to be happening now. Year two, we should be looking competent. Last year looked insane at times. Like you couldn't believe how bad a team we was out there looking at sometimes. So, and I think that's going to play in our favor, especially if we go out here and have the type of season I anticipate, which would be not even that crazy. I'm talking about like 8-4. I think that's an easy enough sell at that point. You go, man, listen, if I get you, you know, that's the difference between, you know, us being 8-4 and us winning 10, 11, 12 games, man.
Yeah, 8-4 and them four losses are games you were in. You were battling. You was competing.
Right.
Ellis Robinson away.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why I'm excited to see this season because I think what's going to ultimately happen is I think we're going to go out there before the season starts and have a pretty solid class put together. And then I think we're going to have an opportunity to pull in some even better players once the season gets rolling and it's like, okay, they actually got this thing heading the right direction. I think you're going to see this class jump up even more once we get into the season. But yeah, Ellis Robinson is – I think basically we play competent football, I think we get him. That's kind of my foregone conclusion with him. Like you said, X, it ain't written in stone. It's Georgia. They still doing their thing, but I just hear too many positive things, man. When it comes to Miami, so
yeah, that one. It kind of surprised me. Once I got the phone call Saturday, and I'm just talking for like 15 minutes, and I'm like, man, I'm thinking it's Christmas. I'm like, man, this sound like somebody telling me I got a Christmas gift or something. Like, hold on, this is good stuff, but. Yeah, we got it on that field, man. It showed some things on that field, man. Like you said, man, this class could be really something special, man.
Now we can go in the trenches.
Oh yeah, we get in the boy. We get go to the big boys. Go to the big fellas. The big dogs. Man.
We kick it off. Let's go with Aiden Breland.
Oh man, that was another great one, man. He came down again. Family loved it. Even before the visit, I felt like he was leaning our way already. I think it's still leaning our way, probably a lot more. Obviously, he does have more visits, and the only issue I see with him would be maybe if the family does want him to stay on the West Coast. But I think, you know, they gave him his blessing. Say, man, Miami, if you think you can see yourself in Miami, man, go ahead.
Yeah, 5-star. He projects inside. I mean, these are the bodies we got to get in, man. You know, I wonder, too, I think I brought it up before. I don't remember exactly where. But I wonder as well how much some of that will play in when – you know, with his NIL deals, man. So like I say, these kids might buy a lot of these plane tickets. You know what I'm saying? Be like, Mom, y'all come on out to the game. You know, we playing such and such this week. And then come on down. They can pay for their parents to come now. You know what I'm saying? It was just a crazy thing because before that was a big deal. It was like, well, you know, I want my folks to be able to come see me. Well, a guy like him will probably secure a decent little NIL deal out the gate. Like, yeah, oh no, nah, I'll get my hotels and flights for my parents for my home games anyway. So man, hell, some of the away games if I want, you know what I mean? So I wonder how that'll factor in, especially for the bigger names. You know, because yeah, obviously not everybody's gonna come in and get the same type of NIL deals, but a guy like him will be able to secure some of this stuff at a higher clip. And be able to just pay for a couple of plane tickets in a hotel room for your moms and pops, which is dope as hell. So things trending well for us, I think, in that one.
What's things another trending one well have? For that one. David Stone, that's another one I continue to hear great things about. Obviously, Oklahoma is the other school that you can hear great things about. But yeah, things are looking good for us with that one too.
Come on, Stone.
Yeah, things are looking good with that one for that one. And I think, you know, not saying he's going to commit soon, but it could be like a surprise thing. You say, well, I'm finna commit. You know what I'm saying, with him out the blue. You know, it could be a little situation like that. Not saying it'll be you or say Oklahoma, but it could just be like a surprise commit with him. Say, oh, I'm ready to commit. You know what I'm saying, but things are definitely looking good with us, with you and David Stone.
How about let's see, TJ Lindsey.
He was kind of TJ Lindsey. Yeah, he things went good. He liked the visit. But I still think he's going to probably end up out there, Texas or Oklahoma, one of those schools.
Yeah, I'm here at A&M.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, like I say, one of those schools in that area, that's where he's from. Yeah, that's where he's from. Yeah, so, you know, that's probably where it's going to be.
He just moved to IMG.
Yeah, just so, got IMG.
So. You know, it depends on how much they like how this class shaping up. And, I mean, clearly we know who their top priorities are, but he is a kid that they like. So, you know, having him in IMG will help to move that recruitment more if they decide to, you know, pivot his direction at some point. So some of the edge guys, Colin Simmons, this was a kid that you the first person to tell me that was real. At first I was hearing, oh man, you know, he just coming to kick it. And then I remember you saying, nah, that, I don't think it's just a coming to kick it type vibes. So what's up with Colin, man?
Man, okay, so you got Colin Stevens, number one, and you got Daylon Stewart, number two, number one. It's either number one or number two, depending on which sites you want to look on, both of them.
Right.
I'm going to speak on both of them because both of them, you get the same energy and basically the same came from the parents. They loved it. They loved it. Both of those guys loved it. Jason Taylor is probably the role he's playing in those two guys right there. Recruitment is key and factor. They love it. They love everything about it, man. They speak so highly of Jason Taylor. It's like this is a situation where you're a parent and you saying, I gotta drop my kids off for 4 years. This is the guy who I want my kids to be around for 4 years. That's basically the situation the parents are saying about Jason Taylor.
Have you kind of been able to see JT kind of around these kids, man? Because he's been a name that just keeps popping up. It was funny because a lot of people assume he would just kind of bypass Miami kind of quickly, like kind of go from there straight to the NFL. And but with all the feedback I gather is, no, he's all in. He's all in. He's passionate about it.
JT is all in, man. He's loving everything what he's got going on at UM. He's bought into what Mario wants to bring to University of Miami. He's loving it. He's basically telling his kid, and it's crazy because Jason Taylor, he's not familiar with UM. You know, he didn't go to UM. He don't know the history. You know what I'm saying? He can only be told. But he's literally there telling these kids and the parents about what UM is. This is how UM is, and this is how we're going to bring it back. He's all in. He's all in, man. I was around once when he was, and it wasn't like official recruit visits, but it was just, you know, some recruits came out to watch practice. So, you know, I ended up standing out to practice one day, and then, you know, they just out there talking with Jason Taylor, and just the way they looking at him is like, man, they really trying to soak up some information and learn. So the guy saying, man, I could learn from this guy for 4 years. I want to go to Miami so I can learn from this guy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, same pitch, you know, that's working for Deion, man. And so many kids is like, why wouldn't I want to learn from the greatest? You know, not everybody can coach. So we're going to see how that plays out. But, hey, it's working in our favor now. And I'm not saying that as a knock on JT because – he'd already been coaching, you know, previous to this too. People forget he was at St. Thomas. So clearly has a passion for that in that regard.
And that's why I think, like, he's going to stick around you on for a little minute because he has a passion for teaching the younger kids.
Yeah.
It's, you know, different. What I'm saying? He has a passion for teaching the younger kids. Messing with these
pros is a different game. He knows it because he's a pro. So he knows, like, it just depends on what you want to deal with. You want to deal with guys with huge egos and salaries bigger than yours, or you want to help a kid get there. That's all two totally different things. It's tomato, tomato. So you can find your passion for the game and coaching at a high school level that you may just not want to deal with at the pro level. So I'm with you. I kind of think he hangs around a little while. Hell, I even heard, you know, defensive coordinator, because he did serve that role at St. Thomas, right?
Yeah. He ended up getting it the last year before he ended up coming to UM. Okay. DC. So
yeah. I mean, you know, those four linemen though that we named. Wow.
Well, that's those four, and you leave out LJ McCray, the other top defensive tackle from Mainland.
I was just about to get to.
He's another one who loved his experience. And then the previous week before him, you had Kamari and Franklin. So it's like, and all of them say the same thing about JT. Like, man, I could really learn from this guy from 3 to 4 years to get me to the NFL. He's one of those coaches where I think a lot of kids want to play for because he's not going to yell at you and do, you know, and make a player cry. You know what I'm saying? He's going to get at you when you're doing something wrong, but he's going to coach you up. You know what I'm saying? He's going to talk to you like – he's going to talk to you respectfully, and he's going to coach you up. You know what I'm saying? So he has a mixture of what you will want into a coach, and then, shit, he was a Hall of Famer, so why not, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I'm hearing they super high, the staff super high on LJ McCray. and you know, basically saying like they still feel like he's growing into his own body in a sense, learning what he can do his own self. So there's a guy that they're really high on. I don't know the early competition with him. I'd imagine I think it's all three of the big three in that one.
Florida, I haven't heard Florida State much with him. I heard Florida, Georgia's probably going to start trying to pick it up. And I heard Ole Miss, Bama, you know, he's 6'6". He's 6'6", 250, 260. That's usually the type of kid that, you know, those schools want. You know what I'm saying? Could play either the defensive end or he could play the tackle position. So that's, he's good. He's damn good. So it's like, hey, man, I think UM did everything they could to get him. You know, because previously, I didn't think we had a chance, but just talking to people from his camp, talking with the coaches, they saying, man, UM really got a chance. Like, they literally got a chance. It ain't just come visit and we'll pitch it to you, but then, you know, you're going to do your own thing. No, they really got a chance with all those kids.
Right. Swing around real quick to linebacker. I forgot her name. Keyshawn Flowers. That was the other name I was trying to think of on our board earlier. I heard Cam was trying to get him to commit. Cam,
yeah, he was trying to get him to pop.
Ain't that a bitch? And he talking about taking more vengeance.
yeah, he's trying to get him to pop. I like this kid a lot. He kind of reminds me a lot of the guy we got last year, Marcellus. He's 6'3", 215, probably be 220 by the time he get, once he get to campus, whatever campus he's at, could run, and it's very physical. So, the visit went good. I don't know if it was a home run hit with him, though, but the visit went good. So.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he's feeling, the love, like, where he kind of ranks on the board at this point. That was kind of my question on.
Okay, so by you saying that, I think the most important thing by you saying that is, as a kid, you go to a school and then they have a whole bunch of top recruits and you say, well, damn, where do I fit, you know, in this thing? But I think, the way Mario and the staff recruits, they show each recruit that you are priority number one. Like, they're not playing no favoritism. Like, you come in for a visit, they want you.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's the thing.
That kind of being the thing. Like, look, we ain't doing courtesy visits, which is why some of these visits were, you know, canceled. However, you know, you want to believe it to have happened. You know, because we had a couple of people that were supposed to be on this visit, that did not show up this weekend. And you know, believe what you want to on it. It was either, oh, don't show up or they canceled. But I mean, I'm be honest with you, a coach, especially depending on how they got you prioritized, if you want to do certain things or they're hearing certain things, then they'd be like, all right, well, don't worry about it. Like, you ain't that high on my boy. You know what I mean? To where I'm going to be like, yeah, come on through regardless. Like, nah, you want it, but you ain't got that kind of juice right now.
Yeah, I think we'll just do it the political. We'll give them the political way. It was a mutual agreement for both parties. Yeah. Just leave it at that. You know, because you get the...
come around here this weekend.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Everybody on the social media try to troll about, oh, well, they canceled it. Oh, well, no, the school canceled. Both of them just agreed to say it's best to not come. That's it.
What Magic Johnson said, I'm not going to be there.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's it. So
at the end of the day, I'm not going to be there. So, hey, that's what it is.
Yeah, but that kid, the Keyshawn, I like him. I don't know. I thought in my heart that he probably could end up in his class. As of now, I'm not. I don't know. It's probably going to wait to see what they
feel
kid.
Like that board is, you got Shavers in. I think the board's starting to look like Cole Nesta, and I think they'll be good with that, and then try to flip the Florida kid. If we only get three, I think they'll live with that with this cycle. It's just my mind. That's just my guess. That's kind of how I feel at this point right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so three is what you want. You know, but four is you could push the envelope and say, let's get that fourth.
Right. You know what I'm saying? If talent you're bringing it. Because it's like, you just want to bring one more body, considering you do think you had a good haul last year. So it's like, well, we brought in a good class last year. You know, do we need to reach for anything this cycle? Probably not. We just want to make sure we get the ones we want in this cycle. So that's just my gut feeling on that. Let's get to the other side of the ball, man.
Yeah, I'm about to say, you got to touch on that top running back now, because that thing might get funky. Might get funky, boy. He might get funky in the backfield.
He's not going to Florida.
You can kill that.
Even though they just lost their running back.
Don't matter. You can kill that. Kill that.
So,
man, that visit went great, man. He loved it. I think that visit kind of put us above Texas. You know, but the only thing is he does go on a visit to Texas. So that's like, oh, damn. You know, but I think this visit after this weekend, it kind of did put us above Texas for him, for Jared Gibson.
That's positive. I'm saying a lot of the right things. And then, you know, Georgia's in that recruitment. I would kind of kick.
Yeah, Georgia, Bama, man.
Well, they didn't kind of take. They took Florida running back, but
oh yeah,
Georgia been known to take a couple of elite backs in the same cycle, and you know, hey. But you know, I heard something that I really liked that from the Gibson family. That was the other thing I liked from this weekend. A lot of families involved. A lot of families was there with these kids, so they got a chance to sell the program to the family as well. I heard Gibson's pop be like, you know, yeah, man, they presented a really great package to show how they would use them and how they would preserve them. So, you know, he wouldn't get all the wear and tear. So I thought that was a great sounds like they put together a great pitch basically to
listen. They pitched everybody. They pitched that same scenario with Collins and Dalen Stewart.
Right.
Basically how you're gonna be used each year, and then what's going to happen to you once you leave Miami, you know what I'm saying, going to the NFL. Because they pitch and say you're going to the NFL, but guess what? Even if you don't go, you're going to be so successful that once you leave Miami, you're able to be successful wherever you go.
Right, and all these other facets of life. So great traction there. We didn't have too many other offers. We had
the receiver, Braylon, what's his name? Braylon Stanley. I think we kind of won that battle because Clemson did take two receivers. They did take two receivers that school we was just talking about wanted. they took those two. So I think UM is good with him. I think, you know, you could probably see a commitment coming from him pretty soon too.
Didn't commit at that time. So that kind of let me know, because my understanding, I got a partner of mine I grew up with. His son, Champ Thompson, is committed to Clemson. He's been committed for a while. He's a four-star defensive lineman. I think he's top 100 kid, actually. I'm pretty sure. His dad actually played a little NFL ball for a couple of years. But yeah, huge kid. Is basically where he was kind of breaking it down to me is Dable trying to get, you know, let streets know we back up. So he turned the heat up on. So for me, I think we kind of made it a foregone conclusion that him being a Carolina kid, it was just going to end up being Carolina school. But the fact that he didn't commit on that visit tells me that it's a little more open, because I do believe Dabo is like Mario in that sense of, we ain't just bringing people out here. If we bringing you on here, we want you in this class. So I would imagine the heat was on for him and he decided not to make that decision. So, you know, definitely makes me feel more confident that there's some there's definitely life in that .
Yeah, his life in that, because his dad, his dad immediately tweeted like, "Damn, man, I can't believe how they showing or treating my son on this visit. Like they kind of, you know, was treated great. treated him like he was priority number one, and the visit went great. You know, and again, you know, the dad said he like, man, you know, Clemson was." I told everybody I thought Clemson was where he was going to land, but once Clemson took those other two receivers, I was like, well, he probably still be in the class. But they came and said, like, well, Clemson was only going to take those two receivers. So it's like, yeah. Well, Miami, what's up? You know what I'm saying? So I think we did everything in our power to get his commitment. Again, you know, probably within next two, maybe 3 weeks, we probably get a commitment from him.
He's still got a Tennessee visit lined up. They obviously gonna be a threat with they deal with wide receivers last year. And I think North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. So we definitely want to get him on in this class. I don't want another North Carolina wide receiver torching our ass. It's getting to be old hat at this point, man. And then I think we got one more. Offensive lineman.
Oh, you're talking about Ty Houghton. Ty Houghton. Houghton.
Hilton. I think. Whatever.
Yeah, Ty Hilton.
Ty Hilton.
He's 6'4", 270. Project tackle. I think the Florida schools are after him. You know, all the Florida schools. Miami, Central Florida, Florida, FSU are after him. So...
kid that, yeah, like you said, I think, you know, we kind of got to come to grips with this class on the O-line. It's going to be a few more developmental players in this particular cycle, especially at the tackle spot, because they kind of know the tackle spot is taken up for the next couple of years. So, you know, maybe next cycle you can convince a kid a little better. But right now they know – right tackle taken up, left tackle taken up, and will be for the next three seasons. So, you know, that's going to be a harder pitch. But kid that, yeah, all the schools are in on. I think everybody kind of has the same vision for him, though. A kid that could definitely reach some higher heights, but it's going to take some development.
I think Florida State probably close out with him. That's just from what I've been hearing. He does have a visit to Florida State. You know, I visited Florida too also. So those two schools I think are probably the most likely landing spot for him.
All right, no doubt. Well, that kind of wraps up most of everybody. That's everybody?
Yeah, that's everybody. I mean, unless everybody, unless you want to talk about the number one JUCO guy. I think we kind of mentioned him, right?
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, just real briefly, I think his name is Sierra Leone or something like that. I'm naming the country.
We'll go with that for now. I'm bad with pronouncing names, man. Sinus. Yeah, man. I'm gonna just call him the 6'4" guy.
Yeah, the
6'4" guy. 6'4" guy.
Y'all sound like Cleo McDowell. Hello, Leone.
You know what? Let's just end it on that note. He's good. We recruiting him. It's a chance for him to be in the next cycle, man. I got to get up out of here.
Number one JUCO.
Hey,
So before we get out though, but we got another huge weekend.
Yeah.
Got some top
names out there.
Probably Justin Scott. Justin Scott, he's another one I feel great about. Kevin Riley, I'm starting to hear excellent things about this guy. I think, like, staff on him. Alabama. A cornerback, Dakota Fields from California. I think it's some interest there, but I think he sticks with USC. You got
Is he committed already?
Yeah, he's committed.
Oh, okay.
He committed, actually... I don't know. I think it was last week or the week before he committed. So, gotcha. Then you have a defensive tackle, Jericho Johnson. He's from California. That's another one that the staff been on since Mario was at Oregon. Hearing good things about him. You got a defensive end, Alias Rudolph. He's from down here. He's from South Florida at Deerfield. I like the kid a lot. He's 6'4", about 210. Going to have to gain some weight, but he has a motor on him that he attacks the quarterback. You got Jaden Jackson. That's the other defensive tackle who's at IMG. Staff was on him heavily. He's another one that could probably end up being in this class. And then you have an offensive lineman. They just added a guy named Mortis. Yeah, I'm not even gonna pronounce his last name.
I know you're talking about.
6'4" and a half, 6'5".
Pronunciation guy, forget
it. Yeah, man. I said it once Mario got here, man, these names was gonna kill me, man. They killing me, man. They is killing me. Like, come on, Mario.
Yeah, I think this kid's German, I believe. They're looking at him as a possible center as well, I think, right?
Yeah.
Another possibility that future center. So, another exciting weekend coming up, man. You know, some things in the air. I wish Scott come on, cause I know he got an apartment down here. So he might as well go ahead, man.
Hey, he ain't no Scott. He ain't got no apartment. That man got a house.
He got a house.
Got a house, got a man. He got a whole mortgage, man. Got a whole mortgage. I think Scott probably end up probably being the first one of those big names to pop.
Wow, yeah. I hope so, man. It's fun to get this thing rolling, man.
Yeah.
Get this D-line of the future. One of the best D-line classes to ever come together. You heard it first from X. Then Fawn came along and co-signed it. And then, make sure we give credit where credit is due. But X was the first cat I heard say that. And y'all know y'all believe Wilt Fong. So he came afterwards and repeated that. So and he told y'all know Miami coming. He already told y'all. See, y'all thinking always we jump in the front and then fall to the back. It's a marathon, ladies and gentlemen, not a sprint.
That's not a sprint.
We win the sprints, and the next thing you know, oh, this is a marathon? Yeah, you out of gas when it comes to the end, and then we're losing in the back. Yeah, no doubt, man. But we thank y'all for tuning in. We got some T-shirts coming soon. Stay tuned for that. Keep an eye on the Twitter account. We'll get some more info about that. So, yeah, we're going to be dropping some 26-degree tees. You'll be able to cop, man, and, rep for the home team, rep that logo. We got the dopest logo out there, I think. So, yeah, keep an eye and ear out for that as well. And we'll be back with y'all next week. Peace.
Peace, peace.
All right, fellas, I'm shit, my bad.
We going to let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.